Mishnah, Daf Ein Beis. And we got up to the Mishnah, so we're ready for a rousing.
Zukta Heideke Mishnah.
Hamishah Chaburot Yishavtu B'Traklin Echad. The situation here is this. They set up, basically, in a convention hall. The Traklin is a large, large hall. They set up temporary quarters, people that are staying for Shabbat. And they...
Superdome in New Orleans?
That's basically the same idea. However, there's an important difference. The important difference is that in the Superdome, everybody had to go through one entrance. Over here, the Traklin has a lot of different entrances. And what they did was, even though inside, I mean, I'm sure in the Superdome, you know, if they would have had direct access to Rishut HaRabim, it would be the same thing. But so here they have direct access to Rishut HaRabim. That's in many convention halls. Here, let's say 10 doors around the whole convention hall. And they're putting up groups of people. So what they do is they split the inside area so that each group of people has one of those doors to use. Now, the splitting can be done in various ways. We can hang curtains from the ceiling, basically. Those would be mechitzot that come all the way up to the roof. That has one din of a mechitzot. We can put sort of police barriers down at the bottom. And that would be sort of a mesifas at all, which we saw in the dinim of midot. They had that in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Aliyah. And then it would depend whether it's a real mechitzot, if it's asarat tachim, or if it's just sort of a low kind of marker, which is also often used, which is generally the meaning of mesifas. The Mishnah doesn't explain. The Gemara, there's going to be machlokas as to what precisely the case was, but it's clear when we talk about a case of a traklin that obviously we split it up. That's what makes them chaburot. So each chaburot, a family or whatever it is, a class in the school, on a school trip. But the point is that there are separate temporary quarters, each one of which has access to a chotzer, and to this chotzer there are other batim as well, real batim where people live. Now the question is, two questions really. Can these people in the Superdome, can they carry between each other? As if they're all one big happy family, they don't need an eruv inside. They're all together. Furthermore, when they're making an eruv in the chatzer, with the other real homes in the chatzer, does each petach with its mechitza, if it's considered a home, needs to contribute separately to an eruv? Or is this one house? This is the machlokas in our Mishnah. So,
why is this question?
Well, we've been talking the whole Masechta about Erevin, which are different homes, and we've never defined what is a home. What exactly is a home? Is a yeshiva dormitory, separate homes? Is each room a home? Is what defines a home a common kitchen? Is what defines it the type of mechitzas that are inside? That if people have private bedrooms that are separated by a sheet hanging from the roof, is that a separate home? How about an office in which you have these low type of modern day offices, the partitions that are, you know, just there to make you feel you have an office, but actually everybody's supposed to be sitting every table. What table? That bank? What's the big bank in Johannesburg?
It has enormous...
Huh? Yeah, Investec, right. It's like all one gigantic truckline, but with this little, you know, little tiny partitions. No, this is even worse than cubicles. whatever this is. This is interior design issues, which Alon here will be happy to bring us up to date on when the time comes. So all of these are not important questions, but these are the central issues. What are the units that we're talking about? And this is the first time we're really getting into the question of units.
Why so deep into the Masechta?
It's very interesting that Erevin is constructed backwards. And we'll talk about the scene. But as all of the units, the issues, definitions, become clearer and clearer as we go. It's often done in Shabbat.
You work from the outside in.
Yeah. So here we're coming at last. This Mishnah really opens up a whole discussion, which is going to come in the following Mishnayot, of things like families that live together in a chatzar but have different homes that they eat together on Shabbat, or things like that. These are very, very common issues. Actually, it's interesting that Tosfos uses this Mishnah to point out that you should not compare a yeshiva dorm to this situation, or for that matter, a house where various students are renting rooms. Just because in that case, if you're, let's say you're renting rooms which have common areas that you're using to live, that's definitely considered to be one house. The question over here is, when you really have separate areas, not just for sleeping or just for eating, but your tashmish is in that area, the things that you'll do in the course of the day are in that area. If you have a common dining room, or even not a dining room, you have a common area where you're all going to be using your computers together, you have a kitchen where you all cook together in the same kitchen, even if you then take the food into your room, says Tosafot, that's definitely considered to be a common house. And what the Gemara is talking about when it talks about, we'll see, is a big machlokus, whether your sleeping area is what is definitive, or your eating area is what is definitive. That's only if you have complete tashmish in an area except for sleeping, except for eating. But if you have a joint tashmish, then definitely no one would say that you need to have a separate eruv to contribute separately to an eruv or to have an eruv between you. So in other words, the yeshiva dorm does not need internally an eruv and would just participate in an eruv in a chatzer. Of course, only it happens in the rova. In other places, generally institutions don't live in chatzeros, but so they would have one eruv for the participation. This comes up very, very commonly with students that are renting rooms together, renting a house together. But Shammai Omrim. So now we have a big machloket here about what to do in this convention center that we've divided up. But Shammai Omrim, Eruv, Lekol, Chabura, V'chabura. They have separate entrances, and they've got some type of mechitza, which the Gemara is going to explain how far do we go. Each one of these cubicles, with its doorway, would require a separate Eruv to participate in the chatzer, not to mention that to carry from one to the other, they'd have to have an Eruv between them. So there's really two separate issues here. This is all one house, and in this house, basically, it's like having a lot of people living in a house. One person, the real way to look at it, technically speaking, as we'll see, is that it's many houses in a chatzer that have made an eruv between them. So in that case, where they have an eruv between them, here it says if there already exists an eruv, and because we'll see, what is meant over is not it's literally one house, but that they are joined as if they have an eruv, and that makes very important nachminas. For instance, consider the difference between a chatzer that has an eruv that wants to join now an eruv in another chatzer and an eruv that doesn't have a chatzer between them. Big difference. There is a chatzer, if you have a lot, say you have five homes that have made an eruv between them. One of those individuals who makes an eruv with another chatzer now is acting on behalf of the entire chatzer. On the other hand, you would have cases where, let's say, another chatzer will bring in its eruv to you. If they bring in its eruv to you, then bringing that in would be considered to be their place in this, in your chatzer, even if you hadn't made a chatzer between you. This was an eruv between you. So, as I say, technically, let's not consider this literally one home. Consider it a group of people who have made an eruv between you, with all that implies. So now when they have to make an eruv with the people outside in the chatzer, it's as if now they're contributing jointly to an eruv in another chatzer. So now they put their single eruv for all of their ishtatfut together.
An actual eruv or virtual?
No, in the chatzer, if they want to join the rest of the chatzer, they put an actual eruv. Which houses? The units?
The units,
then they're a virtual eruv. Yeah, according to Mitzvah. Umodim. Here's where the Mishnah makes it absolutely clear that we are talking about some type of temporary quartering. Because by adding these words, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are moded that if they're living in separate rooms, well, what was this? Yeah, that's the point. These are not separate rooms completely. They're semi-separate rooms that we're going to need to define in the Gemara what makes them separate and in what sense are they different from really Chadarim. Chadarim or Aliyot would be the same thing except on the second story where you've got like a porch that runs, you know, like a Batayungar, and you have a porch that runs in front of the various houses. Each house is to be a room that now opens up. If they're really separate, of course, Hainzer in a roof called Chabura v'Chabura. There, whoever lives in each one of those units is the family, so to speak, or the class, whatever it is. They would have to be Mishtatef, each one as if they're a separate house. Omrib Nachman, what type of separation are we talking about as the Machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? We're talking about Machloket b'Mesifas, where we have over here, the inside of the convention center has low markers that don't really reach to the level of a technical machitza. So we have over here something that's less than asarat tvachim. So in such a case, where they're not really separated, there Beit Hillel says that it's as if, because of the fact that they live with each other in this fashion, it's the equivalent of having collected an eruv from all of them, and they are considered to be a group of people that have an eruv. And we'll see why it's important to be moderate that way instead of simply saying it's one house. It isn't really one house, but it's separate units that are mu'uravim. No, the issue isn't the material, at least when it comes to misifas. We'll see there are times when the issue is the material, but it's not the transparency.
But this is a visual barrier. This is not a physical barrier.
Yes, but the truth is that glass, as you take a look in cubicles, glass acts as a barrier, even as a visual barrier, despite the fact that it's transparent, because it provides an element of separation, even though you want to have access to other people. Exactly, it's the same idea. And that's as far as Abba is concerned. The decorative impact over here, the design impact over here, is not necessarily because they don't see each other, but rather it's to give a sense of separate units. But if they would have a mechitza, sarav, they'd have a technical wall, which is 10 tvachim high, then dibrei hakolim, roof. The Kol Chaburav Chaburai. Even there, Beit Hillel would agree that there's nothing that's ma'arev them. There's nothing that puts them together, and therefore they're going to need to make an eruv between themselves. They want to carry inside, and or have separate eruvim for each doorway that enters into the chatzer if they want to carry out their chatzer with the other homes that open up into the chatzer. Ikari Amri. Now another lashon says it that he didn't say ma'chalok b'misipas, but rather what Reb Nachman said was af b'misipas ma'chalokas. They're even arguing with the misipas. In other words, Beit Shammai who says that the mechitza is enough to separate them and require a separate eruv. He didn't say that only in a case where there's a real mechitza. He said that even where you've got a small mechitza that isn't 10 tefachim high. So in other words, according to this lashon, they argue in both cases. They would argue whether you have a division that's a mechitza, or they would argue in a misifas. So according to this lashon, of course, we're going to now have according to Beit Hillel, we're going to say bekiddush, that it was even if you have something that is higher than a misifas, but it's still considered to be a temporary wall, that would be enough to be fair, like on he would still say that it's not considered to be a full separate mechitza, and it's still they have an area in between. Now, Taligi Barukhiya, Rabbi Shimon Barevi, there's another machlokus over here. Between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Barevi, Chanamar machlokus b'mechitzot amgiyot latikra, avu mechitzot she'in magiyot latikra divrei akol eruv echad l'kula. One says that the machlokus of Yeratosus learns that we're talking about curtains. Basically, we hang sheets or whatever in order to separate it. And the question is, where do we hang it from? If we hang it from the ceiling, so then the entire area is separated, but it's separated with a temporary type of mechitzah, which is very clearly, like in a hospital ward, precisely. So it's very clear in that case that these aren't true chadarim, but nonetheless, each area has its own level of privacy. There, Beit Shammai says it's sufficient to make it a separate area, since it has a door and privacy. But if it would be mechitzot she'ein magiot l'tikra, then even Beit Shammai would have agreed. Divrei akol eruv echad l'kulam. Now, we're not sure whether it's Rukhiya or Shimon Bar Revi who said it, but one of those shittas were that. But Chadomar, the other one, who countered, said, no, machloket b'mechitzot she'ein magiot l'tikra. Actually, the whole machloket, which Beit Hillel says that there's considered to be all one big, happy, eruved family, is only where the curtains don't reach all the way up to the roof, so that you have these little low, like you often have also in hospitals, where you just move the little curtain around. And there, that's where Beit Hillel says, well, it's not really a separate room. I mean, to make it separate, it would have to, I think you're taking David's place over here, but how about moving over to next to the Yaakov on this side? I think 3 months might be enough. He's going to have a hard time getting his lodging here. So there, the machloket Beit Hillel would say that since the mechitza didn't reach the roof, and I consider it to be mu'urav virtually. On the other hand, even Beit Hillel would agree that if this was an actual separation, in which there's no way for one to even see the other, and we're making it clear that we don't want any connection between the two, then even if it's a temporary mechitza, that's also enough to be mechayev a separate eruv, but we don't have the virtual eruv that Beit Hillel abused earlier. Meisvei. Omar Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar. Very interesting because he's the only place where Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar is mentioned in the Chas. And because of that, there's a lot of confusion. The Rashi has this here, so we have HaSabar, which means he's a pretty sharp guy. So they call him Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar. But others have a lashon HaSabar instead of HaSabar, which means he's pretty complex out. And this is not his psychologist. But rather, Sivacha, you'll recall, is the way that we refer to the little covering over a woman's head under the hat that holds her hair in place. So some say that was his business. He used to manufacture hairnets, which is far from HaSabar. And others learn that there was a city that's mentioned in Yoshua, which is Sivacha. Maybe he means HaSabar from the city of Sivacha. So it's not clear exactly who this is, but it's an interesting side. So Rabbi Yehuda, yes, is Sivacha. Baka is a place in my name's neighborhood, I hope. That's right. So, here we have now this bright, huh? that says that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai both agree that if the mechitzot reach the ceiling, you definitely will need a separate eruv. It's only if they don't reach the ceiling, there Beit Shammai omrim eruv lekol kabura v'kabura, uBeit Hillel omrim eruv echad v'kula. Now this is the first brighter information that we have about this mission. So let's try to examine the four different approaches that we've had so far in understanding the Mishnah against this brighter. We have the two lishonos, the two opening lishonos of the Masifas, Reb Nachman, and then we have the machlokas between Reb Chiya and Reb Elazar Baribi about magiot l'schach. Well, now it's obvious. Laman de Omar b'mechitzot hamigiot l'tikra machloket tiyuvta. That's out. Based on this brighter, it says b'feirush that the machloket is dafka the opposite, where the mechitzot are not magiot l'tikra. Even Beit Hillel is not. If the mechitzot are magiot l'tikra, forget about it. Then it's certainly separate. So this brighter is a tiyuvta for that. Laman de Omar mechitzot she'ein magiot l'tikra machloket. Well, that's exactly what the brighter said. So that's definitely okay. But we never really worked out what the relationship is between the opening shot of Misifas. How does that connect the curtains that are hanging? There's a question, I just want you to know, there's a question among the Achronim, including the Mishnah Berurah and the Fasanish and so on. This is a kind of situation, interesting enough, happens very, very often. Class trips, emergencies, hospitals, it's not an unusual kind of situation. The Chazanish understands, the Tosus talks about curtains. And the Chazanish understands curtains to mean any type of portable mechitza that isn't there, something that just moves out of the way. There are others who say that it has to dafka be something that moves and even punches on. It's not just its temporary nature. That's no gaya.
What's called
the problem is this. We have a convention center. It's clearly meant, in terms of its construction, to be one unit. And therefore, no matter what we're going to do, separating it off for separate families is clearly a temporary measure, which people do not feel this is the way that they're planning on living. They just happen to be.
An artificial partition.
Yeah, and it's felt as an artificial partition. It's experienced, and living in a living sense is an artificial partition. Which is why nobody says this is the equivalent of a deer. The question is it the equivalent of having an Eruv? Because an Eruv can't do more than the fact that I'm actually sleeping and looking over at the guys in the next room. I mean, that's what an Eruv is.
Your Emunah is living like this.
Sorry?
Your Emunah, the foremost.
Yeah, well, yeah. Nobody could possibly perceive. I mean, Ayin Leirasa, Ayin Zalasecha, you know, what this country could come to. This is certainly not normal.
Actually, I think the food is
called
in the kitchen.
Yeah, the question isn't whether we've created separate living units. Everybody agrees we have not. The question is, are we basically mu'urav? Because you can't tell me that in giving food under these circumstances, I feel more mu'urav than just the fact that we're open to each other. That's the shadow. So we're going to view this as five families that have made an error between them. And this big traklin is the fratzer in which we all live. In other words, what we're doing is we're extending the concept, two concepts. We're extending the relationship of various units to each other. We're used to thinking about a chotzer as a common area, and the units that open to the common area has been clearly separated from the chotzer, correct?
That's with batim.
We recognize that we can abstract out that idea. We can have no common area whatsoever, but the fact that we're all together in this big room is the common area. So now the question is the differentiation between us with these mechitzot. Does that mean that we all need to make an area in order to carry between us, the sky being such, the ceiling, so to speak, the open area being the common area, the sense of the single unit being the common area? Or do we say, since we're open to each other because of the temporary nature of the mechitzot, what's the point of adding an area? We are Ba'ura. So we've done two things. We've abstracted the idea of the common space of the chatzot, and we've abstracted the din of Eruv. You'll notice that we already started on the abstraction of the din of Eruv in the previous Mishnah when we spoke about business incorporation being the equivalent of an Eruv. So we're getting now more to the idea, and at the same time that we explore the particularities, which is usually the way you finally get to ideas, is you get to the real concrete differences, and that's where the conceptual differences pop up. So here too, we're exploring now the broader range of Eruv. We didn't see how it is that the curtain idea relates to the low mechitza idea on the ground. So that's the question. This tiyufta, how does it relate to the opening two pshatim about the mesifas? And here at last we're going to... You okay with this? There's such a contrast between your boker or and the way you look now that somehow the feeling that storm clouds are brewing. We're all right. Now, says the Gemara, how about Reb Nachman's two pshatim? or the two lashonas are not. So lahach lishna, the omer al mat, machloket b'misifas. If you want to say the earlier machlokes were not, the only machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel would be on something that's less than 10 tefachim high. So if there would be any type of mechitza, according to him, even if it was very low, that there Beit Hillel would be moda, that it's separate, that's definitely wrong based on this brayta, because this brayta is saying, as long as it doesn't go all the way up to the ceiling, I mean, there's no way to read that with the misfas. Okay, so according to that lashon, we've also got a tiyuft. The question is, how about the lashon of Reb Nachman when he said, af the misifas tiyuft, machlokas? Reb Nachman over there was saying that, well, no, actually they were arguing in both directions. It was Beit Shammai was willing to say that even a low misifas is enough of a distinction. But, I mean, maybe he agrees that Beit Hillel would say that even if it goes up to the ceiling, it wouldn't be a distance. It's the temporary nature of it that's important. So how exactly does that work? Do we understand him as fitting in with this braita? So should we say that when he says mechitzas of any kind, that they would be arguing? So did we limit it to yufta? Or, says the Gemara, not necessarily, because Nachman can always say, look, there's two different issues over here. There's pligi b'mechitza. We have one question where you have a mechitza, a temporary type of mechitza, where we have a machlokas as defined in this braita. I have no problem with that, in which Beit Hillel would be willing to say that if you have a mechitza, it goes up, whatever you say almost up to the ceiling, however you want to learn, doesn't bother me. They're also arguing, v'hu adin b'mitzifasa. The only reason that it brings in mechitza over here, see that the question of the mechitza is that it's a bigger chiddush. It's a bigger chiddush according to Beit Hillel. Talk about the mechitza. I was talking about the mesifas. I'm not disagreeing. I'm not saying the Beit Hillel wouldn't say it's all one issues, even if there's a big mechitza. Maybe he would. So you'll say, but so that's the case. I mean, if there really is such a din as you're saying, that there's a machlokas even with the mesifas, and that Beit Shammai would say even a low level mesifas is enough to make it separate, which does not sound like what the Braita was saying. Why didn't the Braita mention that? Why didn't the Braita say that a solid mesifas instead of a hanging curtain would also mean that there's an afkamina, I'll leave it at Beit Shammai? Because what it sounds like is only if you got a real mechitza, but it's not a mechitza that reaches all the way up to the ceiling. But if it would be less than 10 tefachim high, it's mashma that Beit Shammai would also say, no, that's nothing. You're claiming that Beit Shammai would say, no, that's enough to separate. Why didn't it mention that case to at least let us know how far Beit Shammai is ready to go to be mechayev you a separate eruv? And say even a low flung mesifas. Says Renahu, that's because Kav de Tera Adif. We're more interested in seeing how far Beit Hillel is ready to go to be matir, not requiring another Erev, and to view this as Me'urav, than we are in finding out how far Beit Shammai is willing to go to be machmir, and to tell me that we do need a separate mechitza. Says, oftentimes when we have a situation like this, the Gemara's response to that type of argument is, what does it hurt to mention both cases? Why did you only talk about a mechitza? Why wouldn't you also talk about a mechitza? What does it hurt you to talk about the range of the machlokes? So Tosis here says, because we won't ask a question like that when it comes to machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Because Bishlema, where the machloket is open in terms of the psak halacha, we want you to know both areas. But Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, we have a standing psak that it's in a mission of Beit Shammai. So for us to go out of our way to start saying a whole different section about mesifas, the Braita didn't do. That's not a question. Reb Nachman can say, I only came to add that Beit Shammai would also have gone all that way. Nothing wrong with that. So in other words, we have two different issues here that are possibilities. The hanging mechitza doesn't reach the top, doesn't get all the way up to the Tigra, and the low slung mesifas as the extremes of the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel.
That which doesn't hang from the ceiling does reach the ground.
Yes. Yeah, or within 20 tefachim, you know, the old level. Yeah. Well, the mesifas comes up. Mesifas is a mechitza that comes up from the ground, you know, like a curb kind of thing. It would be like a, huh? Yeah, and the mesifas is markers in the middle. It's like little pieces of wood that are sticking up from the flooring. So I'm like, Renachman, pligi b'mechitza, adim b'mesifas, hadik b'mifak b'mechitza, diach ha-kochan d'Beit Hillel. Ay, liflug b'mesifas, lo diach ha-kochan d'Beit Shammai, no reason to. Kolach z'tira'ot. Om Reb Nachman, Om Arab, yep, halachik Reb Yudah ha-sabar, the machloket in the mission is to be understood as referring to mechitzot that don't get up to the tikra. But once it gets up to the tikra, even Beit Hillel would be moda that you definitely will need an eruv in this convention. dimensional. Umr Nagbay Yitzchak. Truth is, if you look carefully at the Mishnah, it's pretty clear from the Mishnah that that's the case. And it says, yes, Rav Yehuda Sabar, of course, opened our eyes to seeing this. But look in the Mishnah itself. It says, Umodin that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel Umodeh, Bizman Shemikzatan Shurim B'Chadarim U'Ba'aliyot, Shetzuchim Eruv L'Kol Chabura V'Chabura. But if you've got certain of these classes or groups that are in an actual room or in an actual second story, that then you would need an Eruv. Now explain to me what that means. My aliyot. My chadarim or my aliyot. Are you talking about what regular separate units like in Batei Machzen? That's chadarim, and then on top of Zilberman's, that's aliyot, basically. I mean, I need a Mishnah to tell me that. I mean, that's a classic, old-fashioned example of an Eruv with a joint chatzah. I mean, what would be the point of saying that in the Mishnah? It's almost absurd after going through almost all Eruv and to suddenly tell me if it's separate chadarim. I mean, that, of course. So what do you mean when you say chadarim and aliyot? You have a chadarim, chadarim mamash. Aliyot, aliyot mamash. Obviously, shita. El alav, ke'in chadarim, ke'in aliyot. What you're saying is that, however, if these convention halls include various sections that are completely marked off as if they would be separate chadarim, so then we wouldn't view it as being virtually mugurav. Okay, but what does that mean? That it's almost a cheder. It's like a cheder. I mean, umayniu, isn't that mechitzot ha-megiot ha-tikra? In other words, if you've got a curtain that goes all the way across the area from top to bottom, it's similar to a real room. You say, well, that's not a real room. I can always move up. Okay, fine. That's why it's a chiddush. That's why I need to mention it. If it would be a real room, I mean, why would I bother talking about it? So Shemamina, indeed, we see from here that a something that is in every sense a room, except for the fact that it's clearly temporary and can be shunted aside, is the equivalent of a room in the Mishnah, which means that the resha of the Mishnah, which is the Machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, must have been talking about something that doesn't completely duplicate the shape of a real room, which means it's not Magiyat HaTikra. So basically, the Mishnah is really, clearly indicative of what the Braita told.
So that's
the question of whether a folding partition, as I said, that's a real machloket, because that's very, very common nowadays, where it's not a temporary in the sense of just being a hanging partition, and some indeed learn that that would be a full-scale partition, a cheder mamash, a separate room. As I said, the Chazanish insists that Tosfos is just using that as an example. There's no difference. Something that's movable and meant to be taken away, even if right now it's placed there and it looks solid and so on, is no different than a hanging room. But there's many who argue on him. Like this is something that is very, very relevant, because a lot of these areas come built, especially places that were service schools,
like and wedding halls. You know,
yeah, over there. I mean, you don't have people living for Shabbat. No, but for Shabbat problems, a Reuven problem, this would be a serious issue.
The intention of such design,
the intention of such
restriction of passage, an essential element, is kind of
a
virtual mechitzah. Yes. In other words, if you have some kind of ring that if you pass through it, something happens. That's
like
a wall.
Something that prevents you from
passing.
It's not a real
mechitzah. Remember that what we're looking at over here, the halacha, is how little it is, not how much it is. You seem to be searching for something that separates. The idea over here is, according to Beit Hillel, to try to find what is the level that would be a complete separation, correct? It certainly wouldn't be a complete separation. That's virtual Eruv. I mean, he's ready to say, even if somebody can't walk over to see each other already, you know, it leaves things open, and that's a virtual Eruv. Certainly a ray effect is going to be that. It's going to leave you virtually open. You're looking in the wrong direction. According to Beit Shammai, you could ask that. In other words, how low would Beit Shammai go to call it separate?
Yeah,
correct, but that's not mahalakha. Okay. Tana. Bamed barev amurim. When do we have this machlokas? Kishumolechinat eruvam lemakom acher. This is only if we're trying to discover what the rule is when they are coming to bring their eruv into the chatzar to be with the other, or they're going to another chatzar and they want to participate over there. Aval im haya eruvan ba etzlan, debra kol eruv echad lekulan. On the other hand, if other people in this chatzar, remember, we're talking about there's also a chatzar. There were two levels to this eruv. There was the virtual eruv inside the convention center, and then there was the actual chatzar outside in which various homes opened into. And we're talking about two different levels, which is why I keep stressing that we got to view the convention center not as a single unit literally, but as a mu'urav type of chatzar that's coming out to participate with other chatzerot, so to speak, other homes here inside of the common area.
Besides
the five people, there's other homes that are opening into. I'm sure if Moshe Baruch was here, he would be showing us all types of pictures. It'd be mamchish, the question, but I think we've managed that. Okay. So now, if the other homes come and bring their Eruv into this Traklin, then there would be no question at all that it would be considered a kosher Eruv. And we would not see the other person's relationship to these people as requiring a separate Eruv with each separate person. Now, it's from here that we've established, this is why I've explained the Sugya L'Chatchila in this fashion, that the Machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is not in terms of the Mechitzot. That's not the issue. The issue is whether we view them as Mu'urav. They definitely don't have a standard, because once you're making a difference between their bringing the Eruv to... Wait, let me be Masbid, or maybe I'll include your question. Once we make an Afkamina between who's bringing the Eruv to whom, then clearly what we're talking about over here has nothing to do with Mechitzot. It has to do with the nature of this virtual Eruv between them. That's a given. So now we have to understand that Beit Shammai also agrees that obviously they are one thing. They don't need now between them all the Eruv. So if the question over here would be, what is the relationship of people who are Mu'uravim together in this fashion, and now they're coming to make an Eruv with another Chatzar? That's our question. The people that come to them, definitely, if they put it in there, then they're acting as if this group is one group and it's all considered to be a single Eruv with them. The only question is the other direction. If they want to make an Eruv with the other people, so there, each group, each individual group with their own door, according to Beit Shammai, needs to act separately. Because even if you view this area as being mu'uchad internally, when it comes to its relationship to what's going on outside, each one has its own exit, and therefore each one requires a separate Eruv. So there, we have a machlokas. But as far as what's going on inside, everybody agrees that they are, for all intents and purposes, one place. Therefore, b'medvar mamurim, kishumolechim et eruvam l'mekom acher, avo'im haya eruvam ba'etzlan, if the other people are bringing an Eruv into that traklin, then certainly being in that traklin means that it's all in one place. That's for sure. The divrei hakol eruv echad lekulam. In which case, let's just get to the, we'll see that there's an alternative version of this. In which case, keman ozva hadetanya, chamisha shegavu et eruvan, kishemolichin et eruvan lemakom acher, eruv echad lekulam, keman kebeit hillel. The machloket over here, therefore, boils down to the question of how is it that we view the interrelationship of a mu'urav group. So, and when it says in a braita that if you have five, a real separate five people that collected their Eruv together, now they want to join another chatzar with that Eruv, then they only need one Eruv, despite the fact that there are five homes. Because now they're one. So in other words, what's really the issue? What happened here? What happened here is that we've changed our view of the issues. We're no longer looking at this as a question, really, of the nature of the virtual era. According to this man, Diyamar, even Beit Shammai agreed that there is a virtual era. That wasn't the question. The question is, what does a virtual era achieve? That's the question. So therefore, let's say now that these people really are the equivalent of five separate homes that open into a chatzar, who now have made an Eruv between them. Let's therefore view the other homes that open into this chatzar as being the equivalent of another chatzar that has five other homes. What would be the din then? You want to have the ability to walk from your chatzar, now we're viewing the traklin as a chatzar by it together, an interesting abstraction, right? So that's the equivalent of having a real chatzar that is separate from the batim, having batim opening up into it. Okay. Now, the outside area is the equivalent of another chatzar in this attraction. In this other chatzar, we have five houses opening into the other chatzar. How do we get these two chatzerot mu'urav? That's the real question over here. The traklin is a chatzar of a certain type. The outside is a different type of chatzar. We want the traklin chatzar to be mixed with the normal chatzar. How do we do it? Since there's a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, according to this approach, which is about how to use separate groups that have a common eruv in terms of their relationship to others, then that would mean that we could abstract from this Mishnah an overall question. How would that be done? According to Beit Shammai, well, every single one has to give an Eruv. Okay, if that's the case, if you have a chatzar in which you have five homes that open up into the chatzar that now wants to join the next door chatzar, which they have a door between, then each and every house would have to deposit a chatzar, an Eruv in that other chatzar. Okay, if that's the case, then when it says in our Braita, exactly that case, if five separate homes have collected an Eruv in a chatzar, now they want to join another chatzar. Yamaka, when they take their Eruv and move it to the other Chatzar, it's enough for them to send only one Eruv. Eruv Echad Kulan, according to this, would only go like Beit Hillel. Because Beit Hillel is the one who's saying here, yes, that's exactly the case. Beit Shammai obviously disagrees with that Yesod. So if he disagrees with it in terms of our traveling, he would disagree with it in terms of a regular Chatzar as well, if we take this approach. Igre Amri, now others take this approach, but go even further. And they say, "Bameh devarim amurim kishahaya eruv ba'etzlam." That on the contrary, the only time that we're talking about viewing them as one group is in terms of another chatzar bringing an eruv to them. Okay, another chatzar bringing an eruv certainly only needs to deal with the chatzar as a group. There's nobody who ever says that if you've got five homes opening into a chatzar and a next door chatzar that wants to join that eruv, that they'd have to put an eruv into everybody's house. Of course, there's no such thing, because the whole din of a chatzar making an eruv with another chatzar is that they deal with the chatzar, not with the home. So when you say those words, you're talking about Kishaya Ruv by its land, you're saying, oh, wait a second. So if by its land, that means that you're willing to say that if they need to make an Eruv themselves, that even the Gilel agrees that you would need separate Eruvin from every single house to be put into the Chatzar next door, right? Now that would mean that Braita doesn't work with anybody. Nobody would say, even the Gilel over here, according to this version, is saying, no, wait a minute, I only consider them to be mu'urav as a chatzar if somebody's sending an eruv to them, then they're mu'urav as a chatzar. I certainly don't view them to be mu'urav that it's okay for only one person. They're not one by it. So then if that would be the case, who then would be the author of this braika that says that in a case where you've got a normal chatzar with five homes, they can send one eruv to the next door chatzar, and that would be enough? Command the Lokachat wouldn't work out according to anybody. Because according to this, even Beit Hillel is claiming that a virtual Eruv does not give you the ability to act en masse into the next concert. Each group would have to act separately. According to this version, they retain their separate identities, even according to Beit Hillel. Right? So in other words, the problem according to this Lashon is that definitely they may be one area, but so what? They're no different than Chamisha Shi'irvu. Nonetheless, they require a separate Eruv. If they require a separate Eruv, then who's the man the Yomim that says that no, only one Eruv works for a whole Chatzar to another Chatzar? That's the person, neither Beit Shammai nor Beit Hillel.
Going out would always read, going in is enough one.
Going in, we could view them as Rishut Echad. Going out, they all would have to act separately.
Because going in, it's just dependent on the perception of the outsider. Versus going out,
it's
perception.
No, it's because what I deal with is only the chatzar when I'm going in.
Okay.
I, as the other chatzar, have no interest in the householders. I have an interest in using that chatzar. I'm not going to be going to anybody's house.
But going out,
so then I, as a householder, want to be able to carry into that chatzar from my house.
Okay.
Well, we're saying that the Bamed Varamur doesn't work according to this. The Bamed Varamur is shown to be wrong by this brightness. Unless you find another shita, then this Bamed Varamur can't be true. Not a little bit of Beit Shammai, not a little bit of Beit Hillel. Well, now, according to this Lashon, they do have an Eruv between themselves, for all intents and purposes, and that's not the issue. This issue is mufshat from the actual case. It's just that we took this case in order to illustrate the extreme of the idea of having an Eruv. So what we could have done is we could have said, a simple case, a chatzar with five homes opening into it wants to join the chatzar next door, what's the halacha? Instead, we dealt with a much more abstracted form of that question in order to bring out the concept of a virtual Eruv at the same time that we bring out the din of going from one chatzar to another. It's much, much vastly more complicated, according to this Man D'Yomar. But on the other hand, he's limiting the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel to a completely different issue. They're not really arguing about the nature of a trakulin and the parts that are in it, according to this. That's right. It's just extra information. Exactly. And the truth is, the Mishnah, the way we understood it, not according to this, is a little bit funny. Because if the whole focus in the Mishnah is what determines a virtual Eruv, you didn't give me any information. All you said was, if they're there, yeah, and if the point is, and how much of a wall is between them, I mean, don't you think you ought to at least mention something about the wall? Instead, like, we ignore it completely. So it's a very reasonable approach to the Mishnah. The Mishnah seems to disregard the details about the virtual Eruv. And it's just saying, look, we're all agreed about what constitutes a virtual Eruv. Whatever it is, get the information elsewhere. Now what happens if you want to use your virtual Eruv to create a connection to the people outdoors in the Chatzar? Then we've got to not quote the Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Yeah, then the Mishnah makes sense. Otherwise, I mean, it's maddening to read a Mishnah that doesn't even, I mean, when you read the Mishnah, it doesn't even say that there's mechitzas. It doesn't even say they're almost mechitzas. Every everything is between the lines. Well, if they're really chadarim ba'aliyot, so in other words, this one is not really a chet, so what makes it not a really, is an amazingly amorphous kind of Mishnah. Okay, so there you can see why we have such a broad range of interpretation. Now suppose we have a somewhat similar case in which the virtuality of the interrelationship comes because of actual relationship. The people are related to each other, and they eat together, they come together for a Sudan Shabbos made. So what about that? So here you've got a what should have been a classical Jewish situation in which you have many generations living together, and so the chutzner became separated. Unfortunately, we see this all the time with the Arabs, in which the chutzner just keeps growing. They add another koman, another house, and so on. But that's because you don't have to worry about zoning or anything like that. Nobody's going to tear anything down. So that's how things grow. But so if you would have, let's say now, a father whose children grew up, each one of them now has a separate house where they live with their family. That's right. And they sleep in their homes. But they come together for the, at least what it sounds like it's saying is they come together for their Sukkah on Shabbat, but they live in their own house. So there, the fact that they're living in their homes means that they need an Erev separately. Now this seems to imply that what defines the separation of a dira is where you go to sleep. The truth is, by the way, this is very, very important for Hanukkah as well. What defines, when we talk about Ner of Beito, what defines Beito? Is Beito where you sleep? Or is Beito where you eat? So again, the issues over here, and even Tosfos' distinction about dormitories and so on, would also have important implications. Legabe Hanukkah. So here it seems to be saying, which is rather incredible, and of course the Gemara will ask this, because we have a big machlokas Rav and Shmuel as to whether it's sleeping that is definitive or whether it's eating that's definitive. And the Mishnah seems to be saying very clearly that it's only sleeping that counts. They sleep back in their own houses.
They
had
that with Shabbos lighting candles also.
Correct, that's right. So tzurchim eruv l'kol achad v'achad. At least the Shabbos candles, if you eat there, then we know that you're being nene from the or. So that certainly would be okay. So tzurchim eruv l'kol achad v'achad. L'fichach, im shachach achad mi'am v'lo yirei. And therefore, if one of them forgot to make an eruv, all he can do is be mevatel et reshuto. But ematai, and here we have a classic example of the way the previous sugya leads into a Mishnah. Ematai, bizman shemolichin eruvam l'makom acher. This is only, we're talking about, where they want now to be able to carry outside in this other chatzer. So then they're going to put it into a, and again, this is an area where they have their little area that opens up, and there's other houses that also open up. You have a nice picture. What avatar, beautiful color pictures. Let me see that with that. That's the trackman. Okay. All right, fine. We can manage with that picture. Okay. So now, if you've got other people there, so the only thing to do is, he can be Mavato as Rishos. Now, if they want to put their Eruv into another Chatzer, so once it is that they need an Eruv, we're gonna see that the Sfarah over here is really introducing a brand new concept. The Gemara is going to ask why this is, why we're treating these people differently than we would treat a normal separate home. But clearly, we're saying it's not exactly the same. And that the Gemara is going to ask, why is it not the same? Aval imaya Eruvo, Eruv ba'etzlan, if, however, somebody else is bringing an Eruv to them, or there's nobody else here. They are the only people that live in this chatzer. Osha eini imayem diurim b'chatzer. Einan tzurchin la'arev. So here we have the same problem. In other words, what is it that makes these homes interrelated with each other? If nobody else would be here, we would say that it's all okay. They don't need an Eruv. And now suddenly that somebody else is here, all of a sudden they do need an Eruv. Meaning with each one of the houses. That the Gemara is going to ask. I mean, the Manashat. What's the logic in that?
To say from this way is because they eat together. Yeah,
well, that's exactly what the Gemara is going to ask this. We're going to see that things are not what they say. Says the Gemara, do you mean to tell me? I mean, I just read this Mishnah. And I came to the conclusion, Shema Mina, Lina Gorin. I mean, anybody who reads this Mishnah can't help but come to the conclusion that the Mishnah is saying that what counts is where you sleep. Now, that's something that Richie can relate to, I think. Which means that we wouldn't need an Erev in the Daf Yomi.
Yeah.
Omer of Yudamarab, not necessarily. The meaning, and the reason that we're shocked by that conclusion is because we know that this is a big machlok, to get to. So, I mean, how could we have any doubt? Mishnah says it very clearly. Omer Rav Yonah Omer Rav. No, no, no. When it says here that the issue is eating versus sleeping, it is not talking about really eating. It's talking about b'mekablei pras. In other words, when it says over here, ochlin al shulchan avihem, that is a poetic description of getting your food from bed. And we always use that. A ben that somech al shulchan aviv doesn't mean he's living anywhere near his father. It means he needs his father's parnassah to keep him going. A well-known phenomenon.
So that means it's all one reshut?
Richie's waking up. And of course it refers to B'nai Bonim as well, and so on. Somech al shulchan aviv.
Is that what makes it all one reshut?
That's what I was saying. No, that's what doesn't make it one reshut. In other words, if they had really been eating on the table together, then that would be an error.
But the fact that he's paying for all of them.
The fact that he's paying for all of them is not the equivalent of literally eating at the same table. But you can't derive from here that if we were literally eating at the same table, then Bokum Lina would be more important than literally eating. By the way, there are various shitot as to what it means with Kavli Pras. Big machlokasim among the Rishonim. The Rambam seems to understand the Kavli Pras as they don't always eat there, but they often come for Sefudah. So therefore, it's not their kavua mokom achila, but it isn't really an issue of allowances. Others learn makabli pras means they don't really get the food from their father; they get the money for the food. You know, I mean, that's the extremes in the machlokes. So therefore, that's how to understand it, says Rav. Now, Tana Rabban, nishyesh lo bechar achsadar mepesach sarchaviro harev ze eino oser. Now, here for the first time, we're talking about what level of living in a chotzer creates a mokom of lina or mokom of dir for which you need to participate in an eight. So somebody who owns a Beit Shar, now a Beit Shar everybody walks through when they come into it's basically the Shomer Hut, you know, where you walk through it where they have the magnetic detectors and so on, they perceive where we were going. You know? Yeah, exactly. A gated community and everybody walks by the, I gotta see how you're walking today. Walk in a straight line. So everybody walks through, or they have an achsadra. An achsadra is, they own a gazebo area in front of one of the houses. They don't have an actual house. Or they own the merpeset. The merpeset is the upstairs walking area that people go through to their homes. Again, like in Bate Ungari. The harezeno seralov, that's not considered to be, I don't care if they put a bed in the Beit Shahr. I mean, the fact that everybody's walking through it means that this is not considered to be a house. So that's not usage that will answer. On the other hand, if somebody has a Beit HaTeven, or a Beit HaBakar, or a Beit HaItzim, or Beit HaOtzarot, then, even though it's not really a house, Hareza Otzarot, there's a big machlokas here whether this means they're living in the barn, or it means they own the barn. We're going to be talking about
that. That would make sense.
Tashmish of a barn, but not actually living in the barn. Yeah, but it's not valid. They're saying, in other words, even if it's a barn, you can live in a barn, as there's a lot of people on this earth that will tell you, but you can't live in a Beit Shahr where people are walking through. Then it would ask reviewed on there. No, eino oser el makom dira dova. The only thing that asers is where the place is a place where you actually live, or that is meant for actual living. Again, we'll have to see how the Rishonim discuss. Omer Rabbi Yehuda maaseh b'benavcha shayulo chamesh chatzirot u'ushalom. There was this guy, famous guy, rich guy, houses all over the place. He owned homes in five separate chatzirot in Usha. And the question is, did he need to make an eruv in every single one of his places? B'maaseh lefnei chachamim. And they said, no, he doesn't. He only needs to make an eruv of where he's living at that point. The fact that he owns a rishos that he's not using for Shabbat is not mechayev him in an eruv. So they said, eno oser ela beit dira bilvad. But wait. What do you mean by beit dira? Beit dira is the house that you're living in. I thought you said that it needs to be a makom dira. That's what you said before. A beit dira is not good enough. I mean, you could be living in a barn or a beit shahr and so on. That beit shahr is not considered to be a place to live according to anybody. So, to use the word beit dira is a little bit confusing. I'm sorry. The place where you live. You're right. No. Sorry, I mean makom dira. And what is a makom dira? What defines the place of actual living? Rav amar makom pita. It's the place where you are eating. And Shmuel amar makom lina. This is why we were so shocked at the opening of the sugya, where it appeared that the Mishnah was taking for granted lina. And this is exactly why Rav said, Now, wait a minute. Now, in this case, we aren't talking, because otherwise Rav would be devastated by this Mishnah. Because the Mishnah seems to be saying, if you eat in one place, sleep in another place, the only thing that counts is you're sleeping. It says Rav, as he did in our sugya, it doesn't really mean the place where you're eating. It means the place where you're makabel pras, which either means you're invited off of your parents' parents' home, your parents pay your makolet bill, whatever. Depends how far we want to go. But it isn't what I'm referring to when I say makom pita. I say makom pita, I mean the place where you have your food physically, sitting down at a table and eating normally. That's what's makom pita. I don't care where you happen to be for Shabbos. Maybe you're eating out for Shabbos by your parents. That I don't call makom pita either. Good. Okay, so we will continue at what time?
Have a three show.
Can we go back to our normal 7:30 or?
6:30 is one.
Well, I have no problem at 6:30. You
hear
this?
Well, I'm here this week. I got no problem.
Is that good for Rebbe?
It's fine. It's not too early. No problem. Are you all right with 6:30 this week? Are you here for Shabbos?
No matter when we make it.
Are you here for Shabbos?
My sister's great-great-grandson is being our messenger. Not just a great
Pligi bar river, chumi verab, chadamar bepa, tikuli armalo pligi de bechada saki. Ki pligi be yayin. Bechadamar be yayin, tikuli armalo pligi de binantarte. Ki pligi bepa. Meitre vechachomi momrim, omar vino mishtatvim. I mean, that always means, omar vim means bechotse with pat. Omishtatvim means bemovi be yayin. Omrim kilomarav, not necessarily. Over here it could mean avikama. Omar vim bechotse bepat, and then mutarin kamvekan. Omishtatvim bemovi, but of course in this case it would have to be bepat. Umutarin kamvekan. Omrim kilomarav, look, Allah is like Rabbi Meir, you can't be saying one for the other, even if it's pot. Ravuna Amar, well, you don't announce this, but if somebody asks you privately, you could say, look, that's the way it's done. Minak, Karebi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan says, Nahagu Ha'am, Karebi Meir, and you're not Meche in the event that this is what they do, and what would you be Meche in, says Tesis, in the Brachel of Atala. Chamisha chaburot sheshavtu b'traklin echad beit shamay omrim eruv lekol chabura v'chabura ubeit hillel omrim eruv echad v'kulam umodim bizman shemiktzatan shruim b'chadarim o b'aliot that over there of course tzrichin chabura eruv lekol chabura v'chabura omrav nachman, well now let's try to figure out what is considered to be the type of thing that separates them. I would say machloket only in a room divider, it's less than 10 tefachim, it's a mesifas. But if you got a serious mechitza that is 10 tefachim high, even Beit Hillel is made that eruv lekol chabura v'chabura. Ikri amri omrim nachman, the machloket is even the mesifas, but by a mechitza too. Now, there's another version in which Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon argue about what the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are. We don't know exactly who said, but either Rabbi Chiya or Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe, chadomer machlokas mechitzot, that are not real mechitzot, but they are like curtains, then are megiot letikra. But if they're mechitzot that are not megiot letikra, then divrei hakol eruv echad lekulan, even Beit Shammai agrees. Chadomer machloket is dafka mechitzot she'ein magiot letikra. But if the mechitzah goes all the way from the ceiling to the bottom, even if it's not a real building, it's just curtains, divrei hakol, even Beit Hillel is moda, shrikan eruv lekol chabura v'chabura. Meitvei omrev yudah ha-sabar, or omrev yudah ha-sabach, lo nech lekul Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel ha-mechitzot ha-megiot letikra, that definitely tzrikin eruv lekol chabura v'chabura. Alma nech lekul ha-mechitzot she'in magiot letikra. Over there, Beit Shammai omrim eruv lekol chabura v'chabura, Beit Hillel omrim eruv echad lekula. So now, look, here's the fallout of this discussion, okay? From the Braita, it's clear that Laman Diyomba, Mimichitot HaMegiot HaTikra Machlokeh, pow, he's out of the running, Tiyufta. Laman Diyomba, they're arguing Mimichitot She'in Magiot HaTikra, no matter how high they are. That's absolutely, that's supported by this Braita. Now, the first Lashon of Reb Nachman, Achlishtam Reb Nachman, Machloket b'mesipas, but Beit Hillel is made once it's 10 tefachim high, pow, out of the running. Because over here it says that Beit Hillel holds even if it's 20 amas high, as long as it doesn't get to the ceiling. So forget about that Lashon of Reb Nachman. What about according to the second Lashon? Achlishtam Reb Nachman, Af the Mesipas Machlokas. Is that a Tiyufta? No, no, says Rav Nachman. They're also arguing it about a Mechitza. And also about the Masifas, I just want to make it clear that you shouldn't think that Pachama is Meida because it's only a Masifas. But the Machloket continues all the way up until it goes to the ceiling. Is Rodiach HaKocha the Beit Hillel? So Liflago B'Masifas, Rodiach HaKocha the Beit Shammai? Well, obviously, anybody can answer. Keach Ve'Tera Adif. Reb Nachman Amar Rav Halachak Reb Yehuda HaSabar Reb Nachman Yitzchak. You can see that in the Mishnah, actually, if you're careful. Diktani Umodim Bizman Shemitzatan Shiruyim Bechadarim Ba'aliyot Shetzichinei Ruzo Koch Habura Bechabura. Now, what do you think is meant by Chadarim and Aliyot? I mean, you think it means Chadarim Mamash? Aliyot means Aliyot Mamash. I need the Mishnah to tell me that. I mean, it's the first time that I've heard the definition of a home. Pshita. Ela lav ke'in chadarim ke'in aliyot. What would be almost like a room, a curtain that goes all the way from the top to the bottom? So that would be mechitzot amagiyot atikra. So you see from there that enochinami. If you have mechitzot amagiyot atikra, even Beit Hillel is made up, and the only machlokas is where it's enochinami, which is exactly what Rabbi Yehuda Hasabar said. Shema mina. Tana, whole different approach. What we're really arguing about is whether we view this as one rishus to be molech the eruv l'makom acher. Aval ima yeruvan ba etzlan, even Beit Shammai is made. Of course, you need only one eruv for the whole tractlet. And according to this approach, kaman oza ota tanya chamisha shegavu et eruvan kishya molechina et eruvan l'makom acher eruv echad kulan. That would be true. Only like Beit Hillel, because the whole point is, according to this Tana, that Beit Shammai is saying every separate person or group, Chabura, has to give an Erev in order to join the next Chatzar. If they're Melech, Eruv, Makom, Acher, even Beit Hillel is Melech, everybody has to give separate Eruvim. That is a general question. Say Eruv, Lekol, Chabura, V'Chabura. Now, according to this approach, Kaman, Ozla, Tanya, Chamisha, Shegavu, Et Eruvan, Kishim, Olechin, Et Eruvan, Makom, Acher, Eruv, Echad, V'Kulam, who would be saying it? Nobody. Come on, dolok echad. Ha'achim shayu ochlin al shulchan aviyen. V'yishenim bavateyen. Tzrichim eruv lekol echad v'yachad. Lefichach im shachach echad mihem v'lo yirev, mevatel et rushuto. Imatai, bizman shemolekin eruvan l'makom acher. Avalim haya eruv ba'etzlan. Or for that matter, maybe they don't even need an eruv because there is nobody else in the chatzer. Then they don't need an eruv at all. Shmamina that makomli nagorem, Om Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. No, when it says al shulchan aviyem, it means they don't eat at the same table. It means they're all coming from the same salary. B'mekabli prat shan. It's talking about where they all have the same food that is being brought to them, and that now that would be nogea the hospital, for instance. So in a hospital, everybody's got a room. But they're all getting food from the common kitchen. Now, they don't eat together. Is that the equivalent of an eruv?
Same source of the food.
But you'll notice the difference. It might be the equivalent of an eruv. But it's not that they don't need an eruv. Because it says here, the moment that they need an eruv elsewhere, at that point, they need an eruv for themselves too. So it means that it's the equivalent of an eruv. But if it's an equivalent of an eruv, if there's a goy in the hospital, then you can't have an eruv with a goy. So in the previous case of truck, when we're in a hotel, it doesn't matter because you don't need an eruv. Because you're literally eating together. But over here, you're not eating together. You're getting the pras of your food from the kitchen.
And he has an equal rishus to you because he's also paid.
Yes, unless there are other factors, obviously. There are many other factors we need to take into consideration, as we'll see. In other words, the balabayit has his things in your room, so then it is your rishus. Obviously, in the hospital, you don't own anything in the room. You know, certainly don't own the oscilloscopes and the beepers. So mamela, the balabayit has things in there, so you don't need an eruv either. But theoretically, it's a fascinating distinction between the two things, in which just because you're eating from a common kitchen doesn't give you the din of being in a common dining room.